from a customer service or customer experience aspect, we really lend that it's everybody's home. Between the two cafes that I have right now, I have 318 houseplants.
Oh my goodness. Hello and welcome back to the Finding Idaho podcast, where we talk about the Boise area real estate market. We love to bring in small businesses and chat with them and just talk about Idaho life in general. Today we have Lindsay Hopkins with us. Lindsay, thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. So Lindsay has a lot of things going on, but not the least of which she is the owner of Cafeena. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. We want to talk about roasting coffee in the Treasure Valley and all the things you are doing in that realm. But tell us a little bit about yourself. How long have you been in Idaho and how did you get started in this industry?
Sure. So I grew up in Western Washington in Olympia, and I moved here in 2006 for college. Coffee's always been a big part of my life. My mom and I would go to coffee at 5 a.m. every morning for my entire life that I can remember. So it's always just been something that I've done. And Western Washington, if you're not, I guess, at home or somewhere else, you're likely at a coffee shop. It's
right.
just kind of the, what am I looking for? I guess just part of living in the rain and the environment over there.
Sure.
So definitely second nature for me. When I moved over here, I got a job as a barista, and I was a barista through college. And then I just kind of wanted to figure out how to be a barista for the rest of my life.
Nice.
And I am not a barista on most days,
right?
Or really any days anymore, but it's still a big part of my life, and I'm grateful
sure.
to be a coffee roaster and be in the industry. So I've kind of always been in the industry would be my answer. I've been working in the industry for 16 years now.
Okay. So the bulk of your adult life, you've been in the industry, though, working as well. Nice. So where did you actually start as a barista?
I started at Dawson Taylor.
Oh, okay.
In 2006.
Uh-huh.
When Dave Ledgard owned them. And I worked there for 6 years through college and went to school for physical therapy. And after I finished my externship, I just decided that I wanted to give it a go at being a business owner and a cafe owner. So I pitched my mom a business plan and asked for an investment. And a couple months later, she agreed.
Made it happen.
Yeah, we were on our way.
Nice. Okay, I never knew that about physical therapy with you. We'll have to talk later because I actually came out of physical therapy into real estate too.
Okay.
So, you know, but a conversation for another time, I suppose. So Dawson Taylor's been around for a long time. I mean, they've been
I believe
I
since 1992.
That seems about right. But ever since I've, you know, been drinking coffee, at least I've known of Dawson Taylor, at least being around here. Now, though, you know, I mean, of course, coming from Western Washington and, you know, Portland area, even too, those areas, you know, are known for their coffee shops and their coffee roasters too. It seems as though here in Boise, I haven't seen statistics for a while, but we are up there per capita, at least, with how many coffee shops and even coffee roasters that we have in the valley. The coffee scene here is, I think it's pretty fantastic. It's very robust. We have a lot of coffee drinkers and you know, frankly, a lot of breweries too. I think in both of those categories, we're sitting in the like top five in the nation for per capita as far as how many coffee shops we have.
Okay.
And you know, we're supporting, I mean, you know, not every one of them is supported amazingly well, I guess they do go out of business and it's not an easy thing to do, but there's a lot of people that are really into, the coffee scene. So tell us a little bit about Cafeena as a, coffee scene and as a place. I mean, it's, those of the listeners that, you know me very well know that I love my coffee. In the first place, I'm, you know, almost always carrying around one of my mugs with me and usually has coffee in it. And of course, I love Cafeena, and we've, you know, partnered with you in some different aspects too. But tell us a little bit about the cafe or the your what you've got going on there as far as the cafes are concerned.
Well, thank you. You're a regular that everyone knows at our cafes, which we're really grateful for, all of our patrons. I would say, so Caffeine is my second brand. Mm-hmm. I would say kind of what sets us apart or what's our why at Caffeine. We are focused on being a destination, a larger style of cafe, and essentially kind of what I described of Western Washington, that third place. You go home, you go to work, and where else do you go? Where else is home? And we hope that's Caffeine. We've really built design and from a customer service or customer experience aspect, we really lend that it's everybody's home. Between the two cafes that I have right now, I have 318 houseplants.
Oh, my goodness.
So I would say just the furniture, the bigger open spaces, the long community tables, the nooks. We are just welcoming to someone who's studying or someone who's having a meeting. The last few years have changed a lot of things for brick and mortars, a lot of things for everybody. But we are everybody's office. We are a lot of people's office these days.
Oh,
so
yes.
Really figuring out how to best accommodate to everybody and our communities that are supporting our cafes.
Love it.
I like to really focus and hone in on that Northwest feeling. Maybe because it's because you always want another cup of coffee in the rainy weather. And so emulating some of that with plants has been, I think, a layer of success for us in the cafes.
Sure. Yeah. I knew obviously you have a lot of houseplants. I would have guessed it was not even close to that many. That's massive.
Yeah.
But it's awesome. It's such a beautiful spot, you know, and a pleasant place to be. And, you know, I've noticed, you know, when I see other people posting things on Instagram or Facebook, you know, of your cafes, it seems like a lot of times it actually the picture is centering around the plants, you know, or some aspect of those. I see that, you know, pretty regularly. So obviously that's a pretty big deal for a lot of people, you know, really. But it is a place where, you know, I've used it as office space to just sit and work on my laptop. I've, you know, have meetings there occasionally, you know, and sometimes it ends up, you know, being a social experience for me, of course, too. And I've met a lot of people there, that have become genuine friends, you know, and it's really a neat environment. I was thinking about this actually, you know, this week, you know, I was in there earlier, the other day, and a gal came in who, you know, had a baby recently. And it just kind of made me think about that because, you know, I knew her only from Caffeine. We've talked a handful of times and it actually looks like she's going to end up being a client of mine, which is, you know, awesome too.
Bonus.
But, you know, but she came in with her baby and, you know, the whole cafe was just excited, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, it was the first time she'd been in since the baby was born. And, you know, I happened to be there that day and, you know, it was just exciting, you know, but it was that, like you say, that home feel, you know, because, you know, baristas were excited. There were several other regulars that were all excited and everybody's, you know, coming over
so
to check
cool.
out the baby. And, you know, it was pretty neat, you know, and earlier, another thing that had me thinking about that, the end of July, one of my now, you know, I would consider him a very good friend. I met him at Caffeine a little over a year ago. But my wife and I actually went to his wedding, in July, got married and, you know, it was just neat to think, you know, okay, this relationship, you know, all came just, you know, from being there. And we actually saw a gal at the wedding who I also knew from Caffeine and,
so cool.
you know, and she knew the bride as well, but she had met, you know, the groom as well, at Caffeine. And it just, it was neat, you know,
so
to
cool.
think about all of those connections. And so, but anyway, back to your story, you say,
well, and my insert, I would probably say one of, if not my favorite parts of owning coffee shops. This is year 11 for me that I've owned my own. is watching people formulate relationships in the cafes simply because you come in for coffee or your chosen beverage at the same time.
Right.
It's so cool to watch just a relationship form and many different relationships.
Right.
So thanks for sharing.
Of course.
That is one of my favorite parts about the cafes.
It's really – I've loved that, you know, and it's fun to go in, you know, to both locations, you know, but it's fun to walk in and, you know, see people, you know, and just,
Cheers.
You know, it's exactly, it's just, there's something really fun and cool about that. And a fun experience. So thank you for setting up such an experience, you know, too, because I think there's a lot of people that really very much appreciate that, you know, too. So
when I, originally set the concept and wanted the Center Coffee Bar, my inspiration was the old sitcom Cheers.
Nice.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And it's kind of where everybody knows your name, which I think encompasses everything you just said, which
sure.
is cool to hear that the vision came to life.
Right. Right. Absolutely. So a big part of that, though, too, I would think, and at least from what I've observed, is hiring process and your baristas. I know, you know, right now, of course, everybody's hiring and it's not easy to find employees and all of those sorts of things. But what are, you know, some things, I guess, that you do from a hiring perspective that gets you the employees that help foster that type of an environment? Or do you do anything specifically in your training to help them?
Mm-hmm. I'd like to think we do. I would say the greatest impact that we have in our leadership team as far as hiring is we hire people and train skill. So we really hire people who we think will fit in the organization. Everybody that we onboard, we need it to be equally a good fit for you as it is for us.
Sure.
I learned a long time ago, I can't remember how many years ago, that I guess maybe a simple requirement, but not that simple for me as a business owner, is I require my employees to be happy. Mm. If you genuinely like your job, you do a better job, it makes me feel better, and our customers can see it and experience
right.
it. I think through my experience, I was pretty fortunate to be a barista for so long. I really got to boots on the ground, understand what it meant to create a connection with someone and what it felt like for me too. So I think we have such a working knowledge of how it feels to be on the floor and how it feels to connect to our communities. I think that through time and training, we can embody that skill in somebody.
Sure. Absolutely. I like that. It's been interesting for me, you know, I think I've been going to Cafeína, you know, I had been there prior to, but going there regularly for about 2 years now. And, you know, I've seen, of course, baristas that have, you know, come and gone. And it's interesting because more often than not, it would seem from at least my perspective that when a barista does, you know, leave and move on with, you know, life, there ends up being quite a like going away party.
Yeah.
You know, it's always a big deal. And there's regulars and there's, you know, staff and everybody's very, you know, excited for the next thing in their life, but yet also disappointed to see him go.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any other place, you know, that I'm aware of, at least that I've been frequenting, that has that kind of a relationship with between the staff and, you know, regulars and, you know, the people that are in there. It's just a neat thing to
Thank
me
you.
That I've noticed, you know, over the last couple of years as things have gone on. Okay. So switching gears just a little bit.
My comments
oh,
on that, would be, as an organization, we choose leadership. So, and I could probably go on about leadership for hours, but I think simply put, the concept of choosing leadership is choosing integrity and empowerment. So empowering people while they're inside the organization and empowering them as they're moving on to their next.
Sure.
Yeah. So I would say we have fostered that those relationships because we choose leadership every time.
Sure. I like it. That's awesome. Okay. Roasting. How long have you actually been roasting for?
So I've been roasting for 6 years.
Mm-hmm. And did that start at Caffeana?
It did.
Okay.
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about the roasting scene in the Treasure Valley. Where do you get your beans from? How does that all, you know, work? Give us a little brief overview at least.
Sure.
You know, right off the bat.
I don't know specifically how many roasters there are in Boise, but there's a handful, maybe a couple handful. The same as craft beer, but craft coffee's really blown up in the last decade.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of hobby roasters. There's a lot of new technology in roasting coffee. There's electric roasters now. There's a plethora of options that you can roast at home or you can roast on a commercial level.
Oh, sure.
This isn't necessarily our question, but there's also new roasters that can go in a grocery store.
Really?
The technology behind in the industry is inspiring. There's so much tradition in coffee, too, and there's so much romance in the manual method of roasting coffee and brewing a cup of coffee and just that final extraction. So in the Valley, a couple handful of roasters. I would say a lot of people are doing a really good job, just my opinion. Kind of the keys, I guess, to roasting great coffee is ultimately just keeping it fresh. I started with a large importer about 6 years ago. And I bought all of my coffee, mostly in large batch, just to better understand how to buy, where it's from, and how the importing process works.
Right.
Now we do source a variety of coffees that are direct to farm. But for our big roast, we still use bigger importers, likely based out of San Francisco or Seattle, just port towns.
Because there's only a handful, I forget how many countries, but there's only a handful of countries that actually can grow coffee. I mean, that have the right environment. And so it all has to come, you know, imported pretty. I mean, I think most people understand that aspect of things, but it's shocking to me how few places around the world can actually grow coffee.
Yep. A growing elevation is typically about 3,000 feet and north of that. Hawaii is the only U.S. state that grows coffee.
Gotcha.
Outside of that, Africa is the largest producer of green coffee. South America, I could get that wrong. South America or Africa might be. Africa is the biggest exporter of Arabica coffees.
Oh, okay.
And then there's Indonesia, Vietnam. They've cropped some coffee in the last, I could be wrong, but I want to say decade or two.
More on a commercial
scale. So there's quite a few countries, but regions, we buy from three or four regions.
So you said Arabica beans coming out of Africa. What constitutes Arabica beans?
Sure. There's, I guess, two big types of coffee that's grown. It's an Arabica coffee or a Robusta coffee. And then there's hybrids that kind of spin off from that. An Arabica coffee is typically what all of us drink here in the U.S. It's a nicer coffee. It's a different tree. It grows at a little different elevation. A Robusta coffee is a hardier coffee. It can grow in a wider plethora of growing conditions.
Oh, gotcha.
Typically, Robusta coffees aren't as highly exported. So like Africa, the main coffees that they would drink in the country or in the villages would be Robusta coffees.
Oh, interesting.
Mm-hmm. Because coffee's their largest export, I'm pretty sure.
Uh-huh. Sure. Well, that would make sense, at least. Interesting. Excuse me. Is there anything different flavor-wise? I mean, I would assume the Arabica is better.
Yeah, they're nicer coffees. You pull, well, you can pull a ton of different profiles out of coffees based on soil, region, other variables. Robusta coffees are commonly kind of dusty, pretty earthy, and not earthy like a really good Indonesian coffee. Earthy like a little smoky, dirty. They don't have a ton of mouthfeel.
Gotcha.
So what's interesting is a lot of craft coffee roasters play with a lot of variables just in their labs or testing. And so coffee roasters have started playing with Robusta coffees. And what I've learned just from reading is Robusta coffees can hold up in an espresso as a blender to really help and increase crema. In coffee. I can't say that I've tested that myself, but that's kind of a new use for Robusta coffees. They're a lot cheaper, too.
Sure.
Arabica coffees are the best coffees in the world.
Nice. Awesome. So when you are roasting, what factors go into – I mean, you have your kind of staple things. You guys you've got your own espresso that you're doing on a regular basis. I personally love the Upala is a newer one, right? Like that's fairly new coffee that you roast. And that's my personal favorite as far as, you know, any of the brewed coffee is concerned. How do you come up with these different roasts? Like what do you, what goes through your brain, I guess, you know, I know, maybe that's, do we want to know?
Do we have enough time for that? I would say thinking is a hobby of mine. I've been kind of fortunate. I'm fairly intuitive as a coffee roaster, a blender, just a brewer. I rely a lot on my intuition as a business owner, too. So I'm so passionate about coffee, and I read so much about it. I would say a lot of it is... I guess just comes from my soul. I just like to try things and test things. I've got a great team. So we're always testing and trying. We really rely a lot on our sensory awareness and just kind of keeping our arms around what coffees we have, what they're doing, what we want to see. Upala was interesting. I blended that coffee one day. Oh, I was headed to see my mom, and I just wanted a good mountain coffee. So I was roasting and just kind of blended it up and cupped it, tweaked it a little, and then presented it. Ended up being just a really easy blend.
Well, it's fantastic.
Thank you.
And like
it's one of
when
my
you say mountain
too.
Coffee, that actually like I'm not creative enough to like have any kind of a I don't know. To describe it. And yet, you know, it kind of puts a certain idea in your mind, you know, about what you're drinking when you're drinking it, you know. Okay, so we're running out of time here soon, but I wanted to talk just a little bit too about your distribution stuff. You know, I know you're distributing equipment for restaurants and other coffee shops, as well as providing coffee for them. Is that correct?
Yes.
So how does that work? What all do you have going on there?
So the vision and my goal with Caffeana is to build a full-service coffee company. Like I mentioned, Caffeana is my second brand. Premier Beverage Service is a specialized coffee service company. Excuse me. I purchased in 2015, I want to say. excuse me. And we sell service and repair coffee equipment throughout the Treasure Valley, Magic Valley, Valley County, and then some parts of Eastern Oregon if we have time and can make it over there.
Right.
So the vertical integration is essentially brick and mortars, retail, wholesale, roasting, importing, e-commerce, technical side, sales, service, and repair, and then kitchen and bakery.
Nice.
So the goal of the company is essentially, say you have a cafe and you want to use our coffee, we have every service that you need as a cafe provider. So you can just kind of come into our cafes and go shopping.
Sure. And just say, I want this, 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 and this. So even out of the bakery, you'll provide that for a cafe as well?
Yes. We run food wholesale as well. Uh-huh. We have our kitchen side, which is our burritos and bowls and quiche and kind of the more food-based items. And then our bakery menus too.
Nice.
We have exciting news.
Oh.
We're opening a direct-to-consumer retail front for our deli and market at Cafeana.
Really? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice.
And essentially
at the State and Collister location or a new?
Yep, at the State and Collister location. We've got about a 2,000 square foot kitchen back there. So it's definitely been on the dock to get a direct-to-consumer front of house open. Mm-hmm. We, like many, have just really struggled with hiring and making sure that our kitchen team, our cooks, our bakers are supported. But now we've been fluid for a few months and we have been working on just what the deli looks like and why. What is our why? Why are we here?
Right.
And I think we've got it all ironed out and we're excited to open next month.
Oh, that is exciting. That's awesome. Any other things that are in the works? Any other plans? Anything that you want to tell us about?
We do have a couple cafes coming in the next couple years.
Okay.
No contracts are completely ironed out, but we've got our eyes on Southeast Boise. We've got our eyes on Eagle, and we're always looking in Nampa and Caldwell for the right place. We're also always looking for operators, people who want to open their own cafes. We're very versed in consulting and helping. So, just kind of sharing coffee with our communities and being a resource as a, just a service and a wholesale provider too.
I love it. I love it. So if, people want to get a hold of you or Cafeana as a whole, how do they do that if they do, you know, let's say they have a cafe or they want to start something up? How do they get a hold of you to get more information from you?
Sure. They can always come into our cafes, drop off a card, ask for our production team, ask for our managers. Orders at Cafeana Coffee, they can always email us. They can also go to our website, which has a link that'll send us kind of an information blurb about what you're looking for. We are relaunching our website here in the next probably 2 months. We've been working on revamping our packaging. That supply chain is tricky. It's a tricky guy.
It's causing problems for a lot of people.
So still kind of waiting on that, but we will be relaunching our website and just improving our e-commerce access.
Sure. Awesome. And so we will we'll have